than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome, Ravens Nation. What is going on? Welcome to The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. We are here getting you ready for our Purple Friday preview up against the Philadelphia Eagles. Josh, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Dude, I'm wonderful, man. I'm recovered from this ugly loss. You know, still coming off the high from the London news, and it's just great, man. I'm ready to get this started. Last home game, it's kind of bittersweet. I'm kind of getting, as the game gets near, I hate to use the word depressed, but I kind of get I hate the season finale at home, especially when we don't know if we're going to be in the playoffs yet, and it's like,
you don't know if you're going to see another game in person for, you know, another 9 months or so at this point. I didn't think of that.
No, because, I mean, obviously we know that we have now to really have a home playoff game. The only time we can actually, even if we lose one more, it can't even happen. I mean, even if we lose one more game, the Steelers would actually have to lose two. The Steelers would actually have to lose one more game at least. So it's just tough sledding in, and you're right. I'm going to be taking this all in. Might even get up extra early just to really soak in that this might be the last time until a preseason game or a stadium practice that, barring any other stadium events, I'll be gearing up for a Ravens game. So especially a home game and getting up early. So it's just going to be bittersweet, man. I can't believe it's already here.
I know. So after that Monday loss to the Patriots, just one of the worst losses of the season, the Ravens look terrible. How do the Ravens bounce back from that? Because obviously we have a couple injuries to worry about with Jimmy Smith. He's kind of a question mark at this point about, he didn't practice on Wednesday, so we don't know if that was a precaution. We're not really sure of what the injury is as of yet.
Right.
But how do we bounce back from this? Because I have a lot of questions after the Patriots game about who this team really is. It seems as if they're up and down all the time, and Monday, of course, was one of their worst showings. How do they get better than what they were on Monday?
Well, we've been searching for an identity, and we've been asking all year, who is the team? Are they a defensive team who takes care of the football? Are they a run first, pass second? We don't really know. To really find out who this team really is and how they bounce back, I think instead of looking for identity and really searching for that, I think they need to get back to what they did best with the Dolphins. I think they just need to get a home cooked slacking. They need to come out. Apparently, they're wearing their black jerseys, which is awesome. You informed me at the beginning of the show. I've yet to hear that news. So it's great news for us. I really can't wait to get after it, man. Pretty much just got to take care of business at home. You have a rookie quarterback. The Eagles are 1-6 on the road. Let's leave that one win there, and let's get it 1-7 on the road for the Eagles. And we just need to take care of business. We need to show this rookie quarterback, welcome to the NFL and give him a good Baltimore welcome with this defense. We need to be loud. The crowd needs to be involved as usual. We just need to get back to the basics, getting back to what's at hand and really honing in on the fundamentals of the game. And it's easier said than done with this team. We preach it week in and week out, but until it translates and see who's playing, who's not, who's going to be involved, it's going to be a mixture of a big what if at this point.
Now, returning to the practice field earlier this week, we had Crockett Gilmore, who has missed the last 6 games. There's no call right now about whether or not he's going to play. I mean, after missing 6 games, I think you need a little bit of time to readjust your body to playing shape. But with Darren Waller and Nick Boyle both active right now, Is there a spot on this team open for Crockett? Is he going to, or has he been replaced? Because Darren Waller, since coming back from week four, he's got a couple touchdowns. He's looked good. I don't know if Crockett has a place right now. He might be sitting on the sidelines.
He's one of my favorite unsung players, dude. And I feel like I haven't seen Crockett get more plays since I was in Pittsburgh at the playoff win 2 years ago when he caught a touchdown and went up the sidelines and scored that pretty much the seal of the deal touchdown. I feel like I haven't seen him. And it just sucks because we have Pitta coming into form this year. We have Crockett. I thought it was going to be the 1-2 punch with Pitta and Crockett Gilmore there. And I'm excited to hear the news that he's back in practice. It's just great news, sending positive vibes to a team that just needs everybody right now. In pretty much, this is going to be a playoff atmosphere game. Win or go home, essentially, for us here. And I think it's just going to go well. If we can have him on the field, I think it's going to huge a great boost to the offense. You need a spark, man. I don't know how many times I can say the word lethargic and set lack of urgency in this team, but on Monday night, it can't translate, man. I think this is great news for us. And to really hear about the Jimmy Smith injury, that it isn't as serious as we really anticipated. Everybody really texted me and tweeted me, was like, oh my God, it's the ACL off the knee. And everybody's like, then you really look at the injury and was like, well, didn't really look as bad as it was. And we heard it was a high ankle sprain. Right now they're saying he didn't practice, but he could be day to day week. But it's really great news that Jimmy Smith didn't lose for the year, which is very, very good.
All right. So let's just say hypothetically, Jimmy Smith doesn't play this game up against the Eagles. That means, of course, we have Sharice Wright taking his spot. I don't think either of us have to go over.
You really have to say that.
I don't think either of us have to really talk about why we don't like that. I think all of the listeners out there worldwide kind of are like, yeah, we've heard this before. Sharice Wright, not our favorite player. But how does the defense combat the Eagles' offense with, you know, a guy like Sharice Wright there? Like, I don't think you can count on him. So how do you go against that Eagles offense who looks solid early in the season, but they've kind of teetered off since the first couple games. But how do you go against a team like that?
They have. I mean, the Eagles started strong, and actually, when they started off as strong as they did, I'm like, maybe this December game is going to be harder than we anticipated, man. Yeah. Rookie quarterback, they got a defense, and all of a sudden, the wheels fell off the Wentz wagon as they caught in Philadelphia. It's just, everybody was on it. Now it was just like he went so many attempts without throwing a pick, and he threw a pick, and then he got sacked a lot. The Redskins made him look like a fool last week, man. So if we can duplicate what they did, and they couldn't do anything on offense, this is a team where if you want to be a good sound football team, this is the way to do it. You got to put these guys away early, like we did Dolphins game. This is a different story because, and I'm going to keep referencing Dolphins game because we played our best game of the year, but how you pretty much translate it is this team isn't on a 6-game winning streak, but what has to happen is on paper we're the better team. If you look at the body of work, we're kind of evenly matched because if we match our intensity, we might come out with a fourth quarter deficit and we have to overcome. They might score first. What really has to happen in this game is we really have to get after Wentz, and it's just crazy because how well they started on defensively. I'm like, this Eagles defense is wrecking havoc. And I don't know. You know, they have a rookie head coach, rookie quarterback. We've even been in that same boat before, but we went to an AFC title game that year and a rookie running back. So it was a good trifecta we had going, a good storm brewing, and ended up being 5 years later, we hoisted a trophy. But, the Eagles, they got their weapons. I mean, they got a Sproles who's dangerous in the open field if he's healthy. He's banged up a little bit, but how are the Eagles expect him to be suited up for this game? They have him, Ryan Matthews, Jordan Matthews. These guys, when healthy and on point, and Carson's on point, they're formidable. Don't get me wrong, this defense is still solid. I'm not going to take them lightly. This is a team that I'm not sitting here and saying, oh, we should really pick them apart. This isn't the Cleveland Browns. This isn't the LA Rams, where if we were playing these guys, this could be an easy, easy, easy game. But what the Ravens have to do is take care of the football. They really got to just hone in on what they do. not really worry about it. And I think we can handle the Eagles very, very easily, man. I can see this easily being a more than a 2-score win for us. It could easily be a 27-10 win, or it could be a 20-14 win. Because if we keep them hanging around, man, this is going to be a long afternoon from Sunday.
So, Devin Hester, he's gone. He's the old news. He's cleared waivers. He's a free agent now. The Ravens have re-signed Michael Campanaro. He had an uneven season last year. The dude is very injury-prone. They came out and said that Campanaro and Lardarius Webb would be splitting punt returns. What do you think the call is going to be on Sunday? Are they going to have be on a short leash after the Devin Hester experience? Are they going to be told, just catch the ball, fair catch everything? Or are they going to be allowed to run a little bit?
It's hard to say, my friend. It's hard to say. Because Campanaro, we really haven't seen much of him since he's been hurt. I think it's a situational. I think, hey, if you have an opportunity to make the play and you got clear space and you have room to run, I say take it. You don't want to look like an idiot and fair catch the ball and you had 10 yards of space in front of you and you're like, come on. Yeah, you could have ran the ball. We don't want to be saying that on Sunday. So we don't want to be back to square one. I think it's going to be a much improved situation because I'm sure he's observed what's been going on in the debacle in the special teams area. He's not going to repeat history here. You're not going to see him let the ball bounce and let it go to the one. I think what has to happen here is if there's an opportunity in a small window to make a play, make it. You know, if you got a fair catch and it's smart enough to do it, do it. Let's put our offense on the field and let's go down and score. All right, let's put our offense in the best position. If we can get some return yards, and you see this successful teams, Brandon. I mean, how many times you see a return game from a successful team and they return a punt 20, 30 yards and it helps the offense out? Dude, that's 2 or 3 first downs right there. So it helps you out to where you already set your offense up, and that's been lacking since Jacoby Jones, man.
Yeah, let rephrase that. Jacoby Jones of, like, the Super Bowl year. Jacoby Jones after the Super Bowl, he didn't know what he was doing.
Right. Well, that you can say yes and no, but you're right. I mean, remember the I wouldn't say that because do you remember not the Viking snow game we were at and he returned one?
All right, so maybe Jacoby Jones 2 years after the Super Bowl.
And the Raiders trouncing that we went to 55-10, he returned one.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, so, again, you know, not really putting the onus on that, but you're right. We haven't had a relevant return since, well, you know, before that was like 15 years ago in Jermaine Lewis on the first Super Bowl team. Jacoby Jones, it seems like there's a correlation here. It seems like anytime we have a relevant return man, why don't we just win a Super Bowl? Because Jermaine Lewis did it. Jacoby Jones did it. And both of them have big, big plays in the Super Bowl and big plays to help us. If you look back in the 2000 season, Jermaine Lewis lost his son. And it was in a December game. We played the Jets at home to pretty much seal the deal and put us in the playoffs. He returned 2 special teams touchdowns. The Jets amassed 500 yards of offense on our defense, but we didn't let him score because Jermaine Lewis pretty much sealed the deal with 2 special teams touchdowns. Then in the Super Bowl, you know what he did. The Giants returned a kickoff and had life, and all of a sudden they broke the return that Jermaine Lewis countered. Broke the Giants back and was like that. They were done after that, and we won Super Bowl 35. Jacoby Jones, Mahi Miracle, we know what he did there. He caught a long touchdown Super Bowl and then returned the second half kickoff. He's part of folklore. Obviously, since those magical moments, and then, of course, the punt return again, and I can keep going. I mean, who can ever forget Thomas stepping on the field during a Thanksgiving night game where Jacoby returned the kickoff? Who can forget when we were there at the snow game and he returned the punt down the sideline for a touchdown? That was epic. We haven't been relevant there, and I think maybe in the spring of 2017 we can actually have a show and talk about, hey, let's target a special teams guy. What's really frustrating is you hear how all these coaches are specialists, right, Brandon?
Right.
Billick was an offensive guru hired when he was on the Vikings staff who set a record. We hear a lot of these guys are gurus, right?
Correct.
What about John Harbaugh? He's a special teams guy. It's just really crazy to correlate that, but our Achilles heel right now is special teams, and it's been like that since Jacoby left and deteriorated in his play. And I think there it could start. I'm not saying guys out there that
you know, it starts with special teams and it's got to create a spark for us. But how exciting is it when you can, when there's a kickoff and it's relevantly returned, and it's not back in the end zone and we can return it and we're starting setting up shop on the 35, 40 yard line or almost midfield, or who knows, we return one, the offense doesn't have to stump the field and we got 7 points on the board. Easy cake right there. But it's really tough when, okay, let's say you return it. Our special teams as a unit gets a holding call block in the back. We returned it barely to the 20, holding half the distance. We're starting first and 10 on the 10. Let's say we sputter, three and out, we punt the ball. The other team gets the ball midfield. That's the things that went on Monday night. You notice that. It's Hester tried to return it. Instead of like I told you, take the touchback on purpose because you start on the 25 now. They're giving you the extra 5. But no, you got to return it trying to make a play. Your special teams let you down and gets a penalty. We start on the 10. We go 3 and out, and we punt the ball and give the Patriots the ball basically at midfield where they can get a first down and a half, and they're in field goal range. It's just sickening, dude. And that's the cycle I'm talking about. It's the fundamentals. But think for a minute. And if we can find a playmaker, maybe Campanaro is the answer right now in the next 3 games. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows if he's the future when healthy? I personally thought they should have kept Keenan Reynolds, the rookie from Navy. I thought they should have kept him, and he had a great career in the collegiate ranks. And I've always been frustrated with that. I said, yes, there's 3 facets. You have offense, defense, but special teams always gets overlooked because it's always the punter Sam Cook or the kicker Justin Tucker. You know, basically God's gift to kickers. And we have an all-pro Sam Cook who punts the ball very, very well and strategically places the ball. He's a pro bowler, man, and not always talked about. And the unit's great, but I think special teams, I think we should get better at that, bolstering that. And I think it's going to be a focal point, especially when it's news when Devin Hester gets released, who obviously his 19 touchdowns, you know, one of the greatest performances career-wise in NFL history, but it's just he's on the downside, man. I don't know what was going through his head. It's crazy. I know I'm ranting about the special teams, but pretty much when it comes to this point in the season, it's a focal point. I mean, I'm staring at my Jacoby Jones picture right now. He returned at 108 yards in the Super Bowl. You know, not saying it should happen every game, but I miss those exciting where it's like, oh, I can't wait to watch the kickoff because we might do something dynamic, man.
Right.
We need playmakers everywhere, and not all 53 men can be those dynamic playmakers, but we need playmakers in the moment that matter because every inch, every yard matters in this game, man.
It does, absolutely. So let me ask you, can Campanaro be a dynamic player? Do you think that we'll be seeing him on offense, or do you think he's just going to be a punt returner?
That's a stretch, man. I mean, could you see him in the receiving corps?
No, I can't. But like his original position is a wide receiver.
Right. We do know that. But as needs rises and as roles change, we have a wide receiving core right now who's and that's another thing is we're not using our talent to our advantage. We're underachieving. This team is very much underachieving. It's sickening because the league just shows you we have 7 wins and 6 losses. Okay. If we stop the Giants on 4th down, there's a win. If we do this right, there's a win. We can sit there and talk about it, but the Patriots and the Cowboys have 11 wins apiece. We both lost to them. They're the best teams in the NFL in each conference right now, at record-wise, and just looking at the team. You know, we're 4 games behind that. So you figure, as bad as the Ravens are, and you're like, they're only 4 games off of the best record. It sounds like a lot. But it really isn't, because if you think about the wins, and it's like if these nuances go on in games, if they can turn the tide on special teams or get a turnover on defense like the Chiefs do and lead the league in turnovers year in and year out. We used to do that where it's like we were guaranteed 3 turnovers a game. You weren't moving it on running game, and you were going to get at least a couple turnovers against us. But the longer the days are that, now we got to rely on other facets of the game. And I think special teams needs a spark. And I think Campanaro, hey, when healthy, let's get it done, man. Let's run up down the field and let's put our team in position to win the games and start drives. If you shorten the field, that helps the offense because, hey, we don't have to throw it 60 times because we have to make up a lot of yardage and ground because we can't run the ball. But it gives us the window. Hey, if we can start around midfield every time, get it to the 40, 45-yard line, couple first downs, hey, Tucker can kick 55, 57 yards. So we're already in Tucker range for three. So you set yourselves up, and it would have been off the playbook even more because you're not limited to, oh, we have to, you know, and then it just magnifies the three and outs. Because when you go three and out, and that's another thing, man. I wanted to touch on this back in the – I made some notes for the Purple Friday preview here, and going into this game against the Eagles. That's another thing is your offense has to sustain drives and not do these three and outs, because I don't know if you saw this, but our defense in the first quarter on Monday night was on the field 10 minutes and 4 seconds of the real 15-minute game clock. That's unacceptable, man.
Wow.
Dude, that's unacceptable. And you wonder why we're losing these games. The defense can't it's a matter of time for they let a big play. Matter, these guys aren't machines. They're humans. They need air. They need Gatorade. They need water. They need rest. I mean, they can't be out there that long. And granted, yeah, again, yeah, the offense of the Patriots is on the field the same amount of time, but maybe they're conditioned better. Tom Brady apparently gets better with age because he looked like his 10 years ago. Turning back the clock, he's throwing the ball around through a deep pass. You know, and another thing is he got the ball out quick. He countered our pressure. We really didn't get to him that much. And yeah, we can't be blitzing every down. And that's another thing, too, is did you notice that we really didn't apply that much pressure Monday night?
No, we didn't at all.
No, not at all. And that's again, Wentz is a rookie. The Eagles are the Eagles. But if we don't get to him, he might look like a Brady on Sunday. It can happen, man. I mean, we lost the Jets. I mean, granted, we had five Pro Bowlers out. And we barely even won that game, or lost the game, I should say. We should have won that game. We were there. So, I mean, we've lost to the Jets. We lost to the Redskins. I mean, you can count them. But at the very same time, none of that matters. Right now, we're 7-6, a game out of first place in our division. We need to win on Sunday because the Steelers also have the Bengals, another divisional foe. And then we have them in less than 2 weeks to where it's pretty much going to come down to you better get your presents open early and get everything out of the way, because come 4:30, AC North's on the line, bro. It's going to be a dragged-out war on Christmas Day. We got to get through the Eagles to get there. We lose this game, it's pretty much over. That can't happen. This is not going to be a letdown, and I refuse it to be a letdown. We need to get after it, man. There needs to be urgency, and I want this team – that's the key of the game right there. I don't want any other keys. I want to see this team being urgent, like their house is on fire or something. They need a fire lit up under them, man, and something's got to give.
Hopefully we see that on Sunday. That's what I want to see, and hopefully that'll help lead them all the way for the next three games, because they got to win the next three. It's win or go home at this point. So,
right, win or go home, man.
We'll see what happens on Sunday. So, Josh, did we cover everything for this episode?
Well, the Raven, nevermore, man, nevermore. But I know you wanted to touch on something, man. We had some big news in Baltimore today, huh?
Yeah, so the Ravens aren't going to be the only football team in Baltimore. Baltimore is getting an arena football team in the next season. It's going to be owned by Ted Leonsis. He's the owner of the Washington Capitals, the Washington Wizards, and the Washington Valor, which is also an arena football team that is coming up in D.C. They named their head coach in Baltimore. The team does not have a name yet, nor does it have a logo or anything like that. But Omar Smith was named the first head coach of the new Baltimore AFL franchise. They'll be playing at the Royal Farms Arena downtown in Baltimore. Are you going to check out a couple games?
Oh, for sure, man. And I was talking to you pre-show. You said you've never been to one of these things, have you?
Never been to an AFL game. I have not.
Yeah, they're fast, man. I went up and I've been to a few. Philly's got a team. I believe it's Philadelphia Soul, if I'm not mistaken. They're very quick. They're very fast-paced, very fun. It's a team environment. It's a nice family event. You can get up close personal. It's green. It's fast. They hit. And it's a different thing. And if we remember, I don't know if anybody really knows the history, of course, of other players and teams, but you remember Super Bowl winner Kurt Warner, legendary quarterback that has retired over the years.
That's right.
He's from Arena Football.
Oh, really?
Remember the quarterback before the Ravens ended up bringing in Ben Roethlisberger? Because we have us to thank for that. Tommy Maddox, the quarterback of the, believe the Steelers at that point. I believe he was from Arena Football. Correct me if I'm wrong there, anybody, but I believe Tommy Maddox was from that league. there has been some players that came from arena football and transitioned to the NFL, and some ex-NFL players have been tried out for arena football. Some actually didn't make it, believe it or not. And so it just – it had happened. But it's a fast-paced game. I can't wait to see how this develops over the next year, when their schedule is, and it'll be great. I don't think it's during football. I can't really remember when the NFL season is. Do you have any clue?
If they're smart, they do it in like the springtime or late winter.
I think they do. I think this is during the offseason NFL to give it a little bit more filler. And it's indoors, obviously, so it's not affected by the weather. And it's pretty fun. And it's going to be great to really have something like that happen. I know everybody's been clamoring for a new arena. Will the Baltimore ever get an NBA team, an NHL team? Obviously, the Ravens in the market they're in. Obviously, we're a big Capitals market. We, you know, with a show with the puck. Obviously, Capitals, Garb, and Capitals games are shown in this area, not Philly, because we are in the Washington, D.C. market. So it's just very interesting to see how this might open a door for maybe future sports. But right now, obviously, we know the Ravens and Orioles dominate. Obviously, in collegiate ranks, we have the Maryland Terrapins down near D.C., and obviously, we have the Washington Capitals here. For hockey's sake, obviously, for our hockey enthusiasts. And, man, arena football is exciting, and I know it's definitely something that hasn't been really up and coming, but and it's out there. It's another great sport to watch, and that's football, which I love, and it's something else to get involved in. And it's a great nightly event, man. If we have a nice, quick schedule, I might end up seeing how cheap a season ticket plan is. I try to buy tickets, and I might give them support, man. Anything Baltimore, I love, and definitely embrace them, man. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, you know, Ted Leonsis, he is a great owner. He's done some amazing things with the Wizards.
I knew that name sounded familiar when I read that.
Yeah, he's all a part of Monumental Sports. He has his own streaming service. I mean, the guy is very smart when it comes to owning his sports franchises. So I'm very happy. Yeah, I'm very happy to hear that he's going to be the head of it. I don't know how he's going to feel about heading up the Baltimore team and the Washington team. But you know what? If this is a step in the right direction, because right now the Baltimore Arena, the Royal Farms Arena, it sits dormant a lot of nights. There is no sports team that really is there every night.
Other than concerts and special events, that's all they use it for.
Yeah, I mean, the Baltimore Blast, I think they even left, if I'm not mistaken, I thought they left the Royal Farms Arena, but don't quote me on that. I'm not 100% sure.
Well,
but
it used to be the Baltimore Arena. It's old, man. Like, you go in there and it's just, I mean, obviously wrestling's there. I mean, I've gone to see Monday Night Raws a lot there, and it's still a great environment, but it's just to watch those events and concerts and wrestling, it's a great environment to be in, but I really think, like, I think it would be a lot better if we can get a new state-of-the-art arena, but obviously with that comes funds and money and construction, and there's a lot of logistics that have to happen before something like that. And I've even heard Bisciotti at one point was thinking, the owner of the Ravens was even thinking about taking it over and rebuilding it, but that fell through. So, I mean, who knows, man? Maybe we'll get a good businessman that gets in there and says, you know what, let's just overhaul this, and has nothing to do with money, but wants to help out the arena program. And I'd like to see it built up and state-of-the-art, maybe host some good events.
Yeah, we'll see what happens down the road. I can tell you, when I was there in April seeing Bruce Springsteen, Bruce was on stage and was saying how this was one of his favorite places to stop because it was an old building. It had good acoustics, good stories, lots of memories.
That's what I've heard. I've heard the building does have acoustics. And I've heard that a lot. Like, not only Springsteen, but I've heard other artists say that for a concert venue, that venue is one of the greatest concert venues because it's old and it actually has acoustics, which isn't like modernized and everything like that. So it's pretty great to hear that, especially from the boss, right?
Yeah, exactly. And like our arena has a stage built in. You know, a lot of places don't have that anymore. A lot of them are bowls where it's all seats and they build a stage when the person comes. But this has a stage all the time. It was weird seeing a hockey game there a couple years ago when the Caps did a preseason game at the end of one of the at the end of one of the parts of the rink. There was a stage. I mean, it was very odd to see, but. You know, we'll see what happens with arena football. I'm excited. Maybe we'll talk about it.
What do you think their name's going
to be? Oh, man. I think they'll go – I mean, it'd be cool if they did, like, the Skipjacks or the Clippers bringing that back, but that's more hockey. They had right. They had, like, a Pirate –
I love a Skipjacks hockey puck, by the way.
Oh, do you?
AHL, man. Yes, I do.
Very cool.
I have to send you a picture of it.
Maybe
yeah,
something
my dad
like,
had,
like
my dad got it back when he was going to games when I obviously around the time I was born. So I actually have a Skip Jack's hockey puck, believe it or not.
That's pretty cool. I have a Baltimore Bandits. They were a hockey team here for about 2 years in a Canadian league, and then they left. But maybe they'll do something like, you know, the Privateers or something like that. I don't know. It's
well, if they see something like with Baltimore, like obviously the Clippers, I mean Clipper ships, but who knows, man? You know. Maybe, yeah, I mean, I think it'd be boring if they went like the crab route or, but I think they'll do something there. I mean, obviously the Orioles are a state bird and they're our baseball team, the Ravens, because they're around Poe. I think they should do something definitely with the city and tie culture. Who knows what they might do with this one? I hate to see it be like the Baltimore Sharks, like something weird, you know, like the, you know, hopefully they'll tie in our city history with the name. But we'll see what happens, man. I'm in support no matter what. And I really can't wait to see what next year brings for it. I'll definitely be buying some gear and a jersey.
I bet you they're going to do something with, like, the national anthem. Like, maybe, like, the Baltimore Red Glare or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Maybe, like, red and black jerseys. Who knows? Interesting. Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, if you're a local to Baltimore and you're thinking about going to some of the arena football games, let us know. Tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at Italian GQ52.
All right, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Pokemon Go and any other site that you use to be social on the web. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call, and you should, too. Don't forget to like our show on Facebook, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. We'll be doing a game day preview on Sunday. Maybe Josh will do a little game day preview from the tailgating lot one last time this season.
I sure will, man. And hopefully my coworkers will show up. You know, they're Eagles fans. You know, they're great peoples. And I told them to invite us over to the tailgate lot. I invited them. So I think it'll be good for us to have some good, you know, friends down there and good camaraderie, even though we're rival teams, but not rivals per se, but opposing teams. But I think it'll be fun, man. And definitely going to post a farewell game day video on our season finale. And hopefully we'll be back there in January. It's the goal.
That's what we hope. That's what we want to see. All right, guys, so that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much, man. It's definitely been great. Guys, I can't wait to get after it, man. It's just been a long drug-out season, 7-6. It's been a scratch-and-claw kind of year, man, with some ups and downs, man. We started 3-0, went 0-4, won a few, lost a few. Here we are. This is a three-game playoff. It starts this weekend. Season finale, home finale against the Eagles at home. We're welcoming our team up from 95 North, the Birds. They're coming down to battle us in the old bird nest, and I can't wait to get after it, man. It's going to be a good war. I can't wait. This is it. Guys, we got to shape up. We got to get after it. We have to have a sense of urgency, man. It's winter, go home. Great nation, please rise up. It's time to play. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.